Thank you very much indeed. Delighted to be here. So I've been asked to just make a few comments, and I've been helpfully given some questions ahead to help guide those comments. And the first of which was, where can the UK benefit most from ESA? And it's worth dwelling on this a little bit. Now, I think the obvious answer and the answer that most people would come up with has been well illustrated in Joseph's presentation, and that is large-scale science and exploration infrastructure. Those huge programs that take many, many years. Think of the James Webb Space Telescope due to be launched later this year, 25 years in the making, budget of nearly 10 billion. It makes sense to pool our expertise and to pool our funding to cover the costs of these huge missions. And I think that's a point that's well understood. Again, take James Webb. It's not just ESA, of course, it's NASA, and it's also the Canadian Space Agency. It's a well-trod model. But I think the second area is as significant for the UK going forwards, and that relies you to think a little bit about what we have lost. And to a large extent, we have lost access to civil operational capability, by and large. What do I mean? I mean that we're no longer, by and large, in EU space programs. And as a nation, we have historically heavily underinvested in our national capability. So even if you compare to similar countries in Europe and indeed around the world, our investment in national capability has been incredibly low. And we've participated in these EU space programs. So that is something that we need to address. And actually, our membership of ESA can prove to be a very useful delivery path to help us tip the balance and bring up our national capability. Now, that's not some cunning post-Brexit ruse, right? Other countries have been doing it for years. France has been doing it for years. Spain has been doing it for years. Some of the smaller member states rely entirely on ESA for the delivery of their national program. So this isn't a new idea, but it's certainly something that the UK hasn't done a great deal in the past. I'd go further. I think it's a fantastic development that now this government really recognises the strategic value of space, and they recognise that space can be a key contribution when we're trying to cement our partnerships around the world. But in order for those partnerships to be meaningful, we have to bring something to the table, and we haven't had very much to bring to the table recently. So I'm just going to sort of leave that point there, but there is a kind of exquisite irony in order to develop our international partnerships in space around the world, we might need to invest in a European R&D organization to make ourselves attractive to those new relationships around the world. Now, I'll stop there, because I think if Martin was sat next to me, he'd be kicking me at this point, going, we have got capability. So I'll move on, because the second question was around the importance of the UK retaining membership of ESA. And I think, again, I've largely answered that, and I think it does fall around it being a route to develop our own national capability and also our access to that large-scale science and exploration infrastructure. But there was a kind of a second element of this question around, guess what, Brexit, and whether or not that has affected our membership of ESA. Let's be real. It's been quite difficult the last few years because we've been in a transition. And I think our influence has been difficult. It's been difficult to maintain. And the relationship between the UK and the EU is still normalizing. You know, I think only just this week we started to hear some news headlines that suggest that the relationship is stabilizing in any sense. But it will stabilize. You know, we will go into a new norm. We're not there yet, but we will reach a new norm. And I know from sitting around the council table at ESA that the vast majority, all but one, I would say, of the ESA member states are vehemently attached to the notion of the independence of ESA. So whilst I've just set out the arguments for why the UK needs ESA, I think ESA needs the UK just as much. Otherwise, it's a slippery slope, but we will be pulled down a path, ESA will be pulled down a path of simply becoming a delivery agency for the Commission. And I don't think the member states want that. So I do think ESA needs the UK very much at this point. And then finally, I was asked what the UK should be pushing for in ESA. So again, I think Joseph has mentioned a few really good examples. So we talked about Truths, a UK-led program through ESA. We can garner multilateral support, both in terms of sharing those costs and in technical expertise. We talked about space weather, but something where I did disagree with your slides, Joseph, I'm afraid, was in how you described Agenda 2025, and you had security under one heading, and you had commercialization under another heading. And I don't think that's right. I think going forwards, we see already that we have an increasing dependence on space, and I think that trend is going to continue. And I think as we have more confidence in the assurance of those services, more commercial markets are going to open up because we're going to be able to use those services in a whole host of different ways. Think about, you know, medical applications, banking applications. Often we're talking about secure communications. And I think, again, let's call it out. If you sit in Europe and you talk about security, particularly talk about security applications, and Joseph, you alluded to this, the assumption is that you're either talking about defence or you're talking about something that should only rightly be set at Brussels. Right, well, guess what? Brussels hasn't got a budget for secure communications in this MFF. It's got a lot of political will, but it hasn't got a budget. And the world is moving quickly. You know, other countries are going to move quickly. I think ESA has an obligation to structure itself in such a way that we can use ESA as a route to deliver secure commercial applications and make sure that we stay ahead of the game globally. So I will leave it there. Thank you for the opportunity to add a few remarks, and I look forward to the discussion later.